everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. We got a lot of craziness going on right now in the crypto markets, and we're going to get some insight on this. We've had a veteran here in the crypto market, someone who's been on the show a number of times and given us some great insight at the right time when we needed it to be educated on Bitcoin and what's going on. And that's Lark Davis. He's New Zealand's most popular crypto personality. And he's the Crypto Lark. You've probably seen him on YouTube. He's definitely been here on the show. Lark, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Thanks for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure to be back.
Well, I would encourage anyone to get our latest download at crushthestreet.com/crypto. We've just updated this for some of our latest thoughts on crypto. But without any further ado, Lark, let's make some sense of what is going on right now. The floor fell out from under Bitcoin. You know, we were in that $6,000 to $7,000 range from what, August to November. And then right when everyone, you know, really believed that we've bottomed out, markets have a way of washing and rinsing investors, kind of getting people back in, and then another 50% drop from there. And so let's get your thoughts on this. Where is your head right now?
Well, markets always have a way of surprising you. But when you think you know what they're going to do, they tend to do the opposite. And there's this really counterintuitive vein of thinking that happens in terms of, if everyone thinks that this is what's going to happen, it's probably not what's going to happen, unfortunately. But personally, I only look at it as exciting times. I've been dollar cost averaging into a lot of my longtime favorites recently, and I've been loving the opportunity to be able to get into some of those lower prices on some of these great long-term crypto holdings that I have.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Everyone remembers when silver bottomed at 30 in 2013, right? You know, it was there and we're like, oh, it's silver's bottomed out at 30. And then sure enough, here we are at like $15 silver. My question for you is, how bad do you think this could get? We're looking at, you know, $3,800 Bitcoin at the moment. But, you know, obviously looking back maybe in February of this year, you go, oh man, it would be really crazy to see $3,000 Bitcoin. But here we are in November at 3,800. People are now thinking, are we going to 1,000? Really? I mean, that's what the concern is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I certainly understand that concern, especially for anyone who's still holding on to their cryptocurrencies and have, you know, watched those unrealized gains disappear. But could we go down to $1,000? Look, nothing is impossible in Bitcoin. And that's if Bitcoin's taught me one thing, it's that it will always do whatever it wants to do, and, you know, market be damned, right? But I think when it comes down to it, I'm looking for the $3,000 mark as kind of the bottom. But, you know, all it takes is one sort of catalyst event to push us below that. You know, if the SEC were to come out tomorrow and say that they're making some kind of, you know, cracking down on exchanges in the USA or something like that, or whatever they might be doing, which I don't see happening, but let's just say if there's some kind of serious event that happens like that, well, then you got to watch out for some real downward action in terms of that. But I think the long-term perspective on Bitcoin is still incredibly bullish. The only question is how low can it go so you can get in there and get some while it's cheap, basically. I mean, all these people who were crying back in December and January, I missed the boat on Bitcoin. If only I could have bought it for $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. My life would be so good right now. Well, here's the chance.
Arithmetically, it makes a lot of sense to be in now versus getting in at obviously $15,000 Bitcoin or, you know, $10,000 Bitcoin. I mean, the numbers are clearly at a discount, but we're in that falling knife type of environment. And, you know, one of the things that we've always said here at Crush the Street is we're going to look back and at the Bitcoin bull market and then the bear market and probably analyze investor psychology for decades and years to come. And I encourage people to really take in the moment right now, what you're feeling if you're trying to buy crypto right now, you know, after watching it go from 6,000 to, you know, almost 3,000 here, you know, the feeling you have to dig your heels in and buy while there's blood in the streets, because I mean, this is market psychology and you have to be able to control your emotions. So I think it's a really interesting time here. I have another question, but do you want to respond to that at all?
Well, the one thing I wanted to kind of, I guess, add on to is, yeah, I mean, definitely the blood in the streets is, it's such a hard time to buy psychologically because everyone's telling you not to. basically. That's the general market sentiment. But one thing I want to add in too about the price of Bitcoin is actually the price of mining Bitcoin. And this is something that does get factored in from time to time, but a lot of people are saying, well, it can't go below a certain level because, you know, the miners will be, you know, not making any money at that point. But it's actually quite interesting for me because I was kind of theorizing on this the other day that the big players, Bitmain, Bitfury, Canaan, and GMO, they can run at a loss for an incredibly long time in order to wash out all the small players and be the top dogs again. I mean, they're already the top dogs in a lot of ways, but they have the ability to run at a loss. And they also have the ability to make their own energy. Like Bitfury can, you know, literally buy their own hydroelectric dams in Georgia, you know, so that kind of competition is incredibly hard for anyone to compete with. So I could see them letting it go below the cost of production because they can afford to wear those losses for quite a while.
Wow. That's interesting. So, okay, last year, it seemed like the hard forks and the different cryptocurrencies that came online added to the synergy of the bull market, the euphoria, the excitement, the news, and everything was just, you know, growing, and nothing really stopped the market. But this year, we had this hard fork with Bitcoin Cash, and it largely correlated with this large leg down that we've seen over the last few days here. So, you know, talk to us about the dynamic of what we're seeing now with this hard fork and how it's making people lose their faith in cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, well, the hard fork comes in at an interesting time. There was already a lot of pessimism in the market. I mean, the ICO market has largely dried up, as we can see, whereas conversely, at this time last year, the ICO market was exploding in ways we'd never seen before. And, you know, there was billions and billions pumping in on a monthly basis, where that's changed dramatically since then. So there was this kind of easy money attitude flowing around. And so when the fork happened with Bitcoin, it was a little less dramatic because people were still making money other places and it wasn't such a big deal. But this time the Bitcoin Cash fork happened and we see this kind of hash war going on where a lot of money is being spent by both sides trying to win, and they're, you know, dumping on the market daily, trying to cover their costs and all these things. And that kind of a situation, it does create all this added pressure, all this added uncertainty. You know, what's going to happen with the, you know, fourth or fifth biggest cryptocurrency, depending on the day, I guess, which is Bitcoin Cash now. Will their Bitcoin Cash number two be a serious competitor? Which one should I put my money into? I would recommend not really either, even though there might be some interesting short-term trading opportunities for those. I look at the future of either of the Bitcoin Cash variants, and I see this similar situation replaying itself in about a year or something when those teams start infighting within themselves again. Not to say it's going to happen for sure, but I would have no confidence in investing in either the Bitcoin Cash variants, especially considering what they've now done. And I think that's caused a lot of investor confidence panic around the market in general.
So based on what you're seeing, you know, it would have been very difficult, I think, this time last year for people to ignore cryptocurrency. But a lot of people are now throwing in the towel. I've seen some people post on Twitter, you know, I've just sold all my crypto, you know, kind of given up on it. And I understand why they're doing that. You know, they want to solidify the gains that they had and say, hey, I have something to show for it, right? But my question is, how bad couldn't the sentiment get? And do you see it getting so bad that people just kind of let crypto, the idea of blockchain, go and just continue in another direction? It just fizzles out. Is that possible in your opinion?
I think that would have to be some kind of real black swan event. Just market conditions alone are not enough. We've seen Bitcoin go through more than 575% plus corrections over its history. And every time that's happened, we have, you know, the same people, Norio Rubini and Paul Krugman and all these guys saying, see, we told you Bitcoin's over and finished forever. And it hasn't happened yet. Bitcoin keeps coming back. The whole crypto industry keeps coming back. I look at the overall picture of the crypto industry and it's massive. And I actually just did a video on this yesterday about Bakkt. And we have Bakkt, we have Fidelity, we have, you know, Goldman Sachs Trading Desk and all this stuff happening. These guys are not building this infrastructure. I mean, particularly Bakkt in the Intercontinental Exchange, they're not building this infrastructure to play around in a little $100 billion kiddie pool. They are getting serious. They know what this industry is going to do. And they are taking advantage right now to get some of this cheap Bitcoin so they can offer it to their institutional partners and buyers later on down the track. So these guys are not getting in to play with the small money. These are big money players, and they get in to play with big money.
So Lark, in this current environment with a lot of the cryptos getting smashed, what's your opinion and how has your opinion changed with Bitcoin? Has it become stronger because, you know, we're seeing what, you know, the different cryptos are doing, and, you know, has your, you know, belief in Bitcoin consolidated towards Bitcoin? Or, you know, this time last year, we had so many different ones coming online and, you know, we weren't sure which direction it was going to go. Is it going to be this crypto? Is Ethereum going to be the new one? You know, where's your thoughts in, as we're in this bear market as it pertains to Bitcoin?
Sure. I'm still a big believer in Bitcoin overall. I think when we see the Lightning Network really taking off, that's going to be a really big catalyst in terms of how people are able to interact with Bitcoin, what Bitcoin can be used for on a practical level in terms of micropayments and different things like this. But at the same time, we have so many super interesting competitors which are up and coming. And yeah, the price has been destroyed on a lot of these, but what people see is the price going down. What people are not so much focusing on is that the teams haven't disappeared. You know, we take Cardano, for example, they still have this giant team of developers working on it. Ethereum still has a giant team of developers working on it. Those people haven't just, you know, thrown in their shovels and walked away, or at least not. Yeah, maybe if, you know, the bear market continues for a couple of years, then we might see that happening with some of these projects. But a lot of these projects have been fiscally responsible. They do have the money to continue funding development, and they are developing. And so when it comes to looking at Bitcoin, Bitcoin serves, you know, one purpose. It's a peer-to-peer money, right? And all these other platforms are offering something more. We have privacy features and smart contracts and all these different things that are going to open up a whole new flood of money to come into the crypto markets in terms of security token offering platforms and things like that. So Bitcoin's got its place. Bitcoin remains king of the crypto markets, but there's some very interesting competition out there.
Interesting. All right, so you already discussed this a little bit with some of the ETFs and the money that's on the sidelines, but let's talk about saturation. I think we would both agree that we're pretty far from the crypto market being saturated. There's a lot of upside. There's a lot of adoption that needs to take place. And, you know, as opposed to, let's say, the stock market, which, you know, you're really not going to introduce a lot of new people to the stock market. The stock market will go through ups and downs. But here we are with crypto, and there's just still a lot of opportunity for the market to be saturated and adoption to take place. So, you know, let's kind of close out the interview here, you know, the opportunities in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and where it can go.
It's absolutely massive, the potential of this industry. And I look at it and I see in a long-term vision, this is going to be a multi-trillion dollar industry. It's like I said, you know, BACT isn't getting into it to play with $100 billion. It is going to be multi-trillions. There are so many things being built right now. And part of the trouble that people have when they look at the long-term value of this is they see what exists today and they think, well, that doesn't have the multi-trillion dollar value. But it will when we start getting huge amounts of user bases, for example. We see the expansion of a lot of these blockchain platforms across the developing world, for example. Those markets are massive, absolutely massive. And as we see more and more of these countries adopting blockchain technologies, getting interested in cryptocurrencies, the potential is really, really big for this industry to grow exponentially. And there will be lots of new ideas coming out. There'll be lots of ideas that fail in terms of ICOs and things like this. But the core projects will stay and continue to build and continue to provide value for users. And that's the real trick that cryptocurrency has to sort of face up to. Providing value, providing a reason to use crypto over something else. I use Bitcoin for international payments all the time. It's unimaginably easier than going down to the bank, and it's cheaper than PayPal. So for me, it's a no-brainer. But for a lot of people, they're still looking for that, well, why would I need crypto, right? And a lot of dApps are struggling to get onboard users or to be better than existing versions. So we still do have some growing pains to get through in the market, but that's the opportunity. That's the opportunity in crypto, is that this hasn't reached saturation yet. We are still going to see 10Xs and 100Xs and 50Xs on a lot of these different cryptocurrencies moving forward. And that's an amazing opportunity for investors.
So, Lark, you know, it's very easy, and I've said it, many people have said it, that, you know, we're here for the underlying fundamentals of what crypto does, you know, the projects themselves. But, you know, we have to look back and say price definitely changes the environment. I mean, a lot of people got excited about the price, and obviously that's why a lot of things happen. And look, the reverse is true. The decapitation of the price is hurting a lot of people. So, you know, having said that, you know, combined with the altruistic, genuine, you know, interest in cryptocurrency, you know, how important is price to what we do here, what we're talking about, and cryptocurrency as it goes forward?
It's very important, because what we've seen with this previous bull run and now the bear market afterwards is that we have essentially lost a lot of people. We had a lot of people come in when things were good, when times were easy, and they've slowly been grinded out. And now they have a bad opinion about crypto and, you know, blockchain technology and all this stuff. Ah, the big scam, Bitcoin and all this stuff, right? Because they lost money, right? They bought high, they sold low. Classic mistake. But in terms of the price action, I would prefer to see nice, steady, long-term growth. Obviously, losing, you know, 50% value in 10 days for Bitcoin, or, you know, even going up. And I know no one's really complaining when it's going up like that, but that in of itself is problematic, because it's too much, too quick. A lot of speculators come in, a lot of speculators get burnt, and it makes the whole thing look bad. I would like a nice little trend line, long-term, slow growth, but I don't think we're going to get that with crypto. It is volatile as heck right now, and until we do get a larger amount of saturation in the markets, expect big volatility. Crypto's famous for it, and it's going to keep coming.
Do you see any downside manipulation going forward at all that makes you concerned about keeping your money in something like Bitcoin?
Yeah, absolutely. This is definitely something that is worth being concerned about. The more Wall Street gets in, the more we should be concerned, to be honest. I mean, JP Morgan was just caught recently. One of their metal traders pled in a deal saying, yeah, we've been manipulating the metal markets for a long time. And they asked, well, where did you learn this? Well, I learned it from this other senior traders and my supervisors at JP Morgan. So to think that Wall Street's not going to be manipulating the price of Bitcoin, that would be a silly mistake, I think. Of course they're going to manipulate it, but they're going to manipulate it in both directions, and they are going to bring in more money. It's a double-edged sword. It'll be nice to have more money. It'll be nice to have institutional investors, and not all big money. Not everyone on Wall Street, not all institutional investors are going to be trying to manipulate the market. Some of them are just going to be looking at it as a long-term investment. There'll be those that try to manipulate it. We just have to deal with them as part of the ecosystem and hope that the overall effect of these players doesn't provide a strong negative long-term trend.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Lark, I greatly appreciate your time here at Crush the Street. If people want to learn more about what you do and the services you provide, and it's anything new, please let them know where they can go and what they can expect to find.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely come over and check me out over on YouTube. That's where everything's posted in general. News, reviews, all that stuff. In fact, I just did a super interesting interview with a man named Gareth Hughes. He's a Green Party MP here in New Zealand. So go ahead and check that out. It's talking about blockchain in New Zealand from the perspective of a legislator. So those are the kind of fun interviews that I do with, you know, people in the industry, or, you know, legislators, whatever it might be. So come over and check me out on YouTube.
All right. All right, Lark. Thanks for coming on Crush the Street.
Pleasure as always.